Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining today's call. I'm Elizabeth Kerr from Business Forward, and I will be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We are pleased to welcome Mark McCall, who is the Executive Director of the Department of Energy's Loan Programs Office today. For those of you who are new to our programming, Business Forward organizes local roundtables, Washington fly-ins, conference calls, webinars, and media trainings for tens of thousands of business leaders across America. At these briefings, entrepreneurs, investors, small business owners, and executives get the chance to brief policymakers on issues that affect their businesses, how to create jobs, and how Washington can work better with businesses to accelerate the economy. To date, we have worked with more than 450 senior administration officials, members of Congress, governors, and mayors, and that's all thanks to the support of more than 50 of America's largest and most respected companies. Before we get started, I need to cover a few housekeeping items. First, just so everyone on the call is aware, this discussion is on the records and on the record, and there might be reporters on the call. That being said, that means that we can provide you a recording of this call when that's over, which we will send in an email along with any the presentation and any other resources that we talk about on the call today. Second, in your confirmation email with your dial-in, there's a link to access the webinar. This isn't just a call. There are slides that you can view as well. To access that, click on, click on that on the link in your email, and you can get to the presentation. You can also view the slides on our website, which is businessfwd.org. And I'll give you that website again. It's businessfwd.org, again, or look for the link in your email. Finally, there will be time for you to ask questions on the call after Mark's presentation, and you can do this in one of two ways. First, you can press 1 at any time to ask your question live. You can also email us your question, and you can just send that to info@businessfwd.org, and we'll read it in the queue, and I'll read that aloud for you. So again, you can press 1 at any time, and that includes during Mark's presentation, and that way we'll have you right in the queue as soon as he finishes his presentation. So with that, let's get started. Please welcome Mark McCall.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's good to be with you today, and I appreciate everybody dialing in. Again, I'm Mark McCall from the Loan Program Office at the Department of Energy. And like most of you on the call, I actually spent most of my career in the private sector. So I joined the department about a year ago. My training was in law, but then I worked in investment banking for a while and have been a participant in two different startups, one of which did not go well and one of which went very well. So for the 17 years just prior to taking this position, I was the CFO of a private equity firm that invested in energy, very focused on upstream energy. And so that background is informs me as I work in the loan programs office. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Business Forward because I used to be on the other end of these phone calls and roundtables and found them very helpful. So for me, it's fun to actually be making the presentation today. So I'm going to try to go very quickly through my slide presentation, about 15 minutes to do the whole thing. I'd like to give you an overview of the loan program today, starting with what we've accomplished to date, and then moving on to describe our active programs and how you can access them. So from a very high-level overview, we have $40 billion in remaining loan authority, and that's the second half of the presentation is really going to focus on those programs, how you can access them, the eligibility requirements, and so on. But from a very, from very top level, we manage two different programs. One we call Title 17, and one we call ATVM, or Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing. So the Title 17 program is designed to finance innovative technology that reduces greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. And the ATVM program, the auto program I may call it during the presentation, was designed to help automakers meet the rising fuel economy standards and also support American manufacturing. Next slide, please. So the reason Congress established the loan program was really to address the gap in the marketplace when it comes to financing innovative technology. And so where we really play a role is financing innovation, and particularly at the time of commercial scale-up. So those are two risks that a lot of times commercial lenders don't want to take until they've seen the technology demonstrated in the marketplace. But we have the technical expertise in-house and the appetite and the mandate to look at those projects, vet them, and finance them. Next slide. So just to give you an idea of where and how this can be very successful, we actually played a very significant role in launching the utility scale solar PV market in the U.S. So through 2010, there are actually no utility scale PV projects in the U.S., and those are large projects, 100 megawatts or greater. LPO financed the first five for $4.6 billion, and then the private sector did what it does. It stepped in and has done at least 28 projects since then. And it's really important because it's getting to scale, getting those initial projects out there that helps bring the cost down and really unleashes the private sector to do its job. So in this industry, cost came down about 60% over a five-year period after we did the very initial projects. Next slide. Next slide gives you just a sense of the geographic scope of our and scale of our existing portfolio. So we've deployed about $30 billion into more than 30 projects across the country. And importantly, we've been very successful in terms of managing that portfolio. So we have a little over a 2% loss ratio, which I think actually stands up very well to the private sector in any kind of loan book, but particularly when you're financing technology and scale up, and particularly given the fact that a lot of this money was invested during the fiscal crisis. So to date, these projects have produced enough clean energy to power nearly a million average American homes. We've created about 56,000 good-paying American jobs, and we've prevented 30 million metric tons of CO2 emissions. And once all the projects in the portfolio are fully up and running, we're expecting to avoid about 19 million metric tons of emissions every year. So the next thing I want to go through is quickly is to go through some of the projects that we financed. So you get a sense of the breadth and sophistication, I think, of the portfolio. So the first one is Plant Vogtle. This is the first new nuclear facility to be built in the United States in the last 30 years. This is in Georgia. It's a $12 billion project. We have $8 billion committed to it. And I'm just going to go through these quickly, so I'll go to the next slide. Desert Sunlight was one of the utility-scale PV projects that I mentioned. This is a $1.5 billion facility in Riverside County, California. We did five of these. And importantly, one of the things that we try to do is bring in syndicates of lenders. So we try to bring in the private lenders to the deals. And this was a deal where we had 14 lenders as part of the deal. And those are they get familiar with the technology, get familiar with the structuring, and then away they go and finance that market going forward. The next slide really needs little introduction, but we financed Tesla to the tune of $465 million to build out the Fremont facility, among other things. And so we're very proud that we had a role in bringing the first zero emission, zero gas, full-size electric vehicle to market. And this is a good example of the job story. So each and every one of our projects creates jobs, both construction jobs and then operating jobs. And Tesla, I mean, people are familiar with the success of that company, but it's been a real job-creating machine. Moving to the next slide, one of the most fun projects to talk about is Crescent Dunes in Nevada. And what you're seeing here is the circle that you see there is about 2 miles across, and it's comprised of over 10,000 mirrors that are dynamically repositioning throughout the day to optimize sunlight on the tower, which is the right there in the middle of the circle. And that tower looks small, but it's about 600 feet tall, so it's about a 60-story building, and the sunlight's being focused up on the very top little black speck, which is about 40 feet tall. And what it's really doing is heating molten salt to about 1,050 degrees, and that salt can be stored. And that's the very interesting thing about this project is they can generate the heat during the day, but they can actually provide power to Las Vegas at nighttime. And that's one of the things that we're really focused on now is storage technologies. Moving on to the next slide, you'll see Shepherd's Flat, which was, at the time it was constructed, the largest wind farm in the world. It was completed in 2012. It spans two different counties in Oregon. There's 338 turbines there, and each one of them is a pretty significant construction project in its own right, since they're about 26 stories tall. We have a total of four wind projects in our portfolio. The next slide is shows you USG Oregon, which is a geothermal facility, and we have three of those in the portfolio. This one used a more environmentally friendly refrigerant as part of the working fluid for the geothermal generators. Next slide is our one and only transmission line. This is a 235-mile long line in Nevada, and it's basically bringing renewable power to the grid and to the load centers in the West. So my next slide rhetorically asks the question, what do all these projects have in common? And the answer is they all deployed innovative technology at large scale. They were all built in the U.S. and supported local economies, created 56,000 good-paying jobs. They all reduce pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. And importantly, none of them would exist today if Congress hadn't provided the financing through LPO, because at the time they were being constructed, the private sector, the commercial lenders, were not prepared to fund them. And so I guess in just in kind of wrapping up this first part of the presentation, the loan program, I think, has been very successful at meeting the congressional mandates of launching new technologies into the market, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, supporting American manufacturing, and importantly, protecting the taxpayer interest. So at a 2% loss ratio on the existing portfolio, that means 98% of the money that's been dispersed is coming back to the taxpayer. So on the next slide, I'd like to shift gears and move into where we are today and the programs that we have open for business. So we have two separate programs. They're very different. They have different mandates. They have different fee structures. They have different processes. But I'm going to discuss each one of them, and then, you know, we're obviously going to be willing to engage with people in the details and specifics of anything that you're interested in. So on the Title 17 side, it's important to realize that we have three different solicitations that are active. One is for advanced fossil technology, one is for advanced nuclear energy, and one is for renewable energy and energy efficiency. And we'll talk about those in a little bit more detail in the upcoming slides. And then on the ATVM program, again, that's a separate program, and we'll go into the detail as well. Just to give you a sense of the available funding for each one of these projects. Oh, that's okay, we can go to there. Yep. So under ATVM, we have about $16 billion available. For the advanced fossil technologies, $8.5 billion is remaining. For renewables, we have $4.5 billion. And for nuclear, we have $12.5 billion. So as you can see, we are well-financed, and we are actively engaging with potential borrowers on these projects. And we have a pipeline, and that's what I want to talk about now. So we can actually advance two slides. I'm going to talk about Title 17, the open solicitations, and the next slide talks about the eligibility requirements. So the eligibility requirements are fairly simple. The first is there has to be an innovative technology associated with the project. So the entire project doesn't have to be sort of bleeding edge technology, but there has to be a component that's demonstrably innovative compared to the standard in the market. It has to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and we do a life cycle analysis, so a pretty sophisticated analysis to make sure that the projects that we're financing are truly better than what the state of the industry is. Obviously, they have to be located in the U.S. Because we want to see the jobs here. We're not concerned about the U.S. ownership, so we can certainly have foreign ownership in the projects, but the issue is that we want them to be built here in the U.S. And then lastly, this is a loan program, so you have to think about us like a bank. It's not a grant, and we need to have a business plan that gives us a high confidence that the loans are going to be repaid. And part of that business plan, importantly, is the equity contribution from the sponsors, which has to be a minimum of 20% of the total project costs. And often we require more than the 20%. But that, you know, we want the private sector to be driving the project, to be putting it together, and to have real skin in the game. Next slide, please. And I would note that the ATVM project, so this is for Title 17, the ATVM program has its own eligibility requirements. So still on Title 17, I'm going to go through the three solicitations just to give you a little more detail in terms of what what some of the applications look like. So these are areas of interest for the advanced fossil energy solicitation, and those include resource development, so methane recovery, drilling technologies, chemical looping, power systems, significantly carbon capture, if there's any technologies to capture or sequester carbon are interesting. Efficiency improvements. One way to think about the advanced fossil solicitation is anything that's active in the fossil world, if you can do it more efficiently to reduce greenhouse gas emissions or cut energy use, that tends to qualify. And so you can picture petrochemical plants or different large-scale facilities sometimes fit that bucket. So on the next slide, moving to the renewable solicitation, these are things that probably sort of come to mind, obviously with renewables and energy efficiency, but grid integration, storage technologies are captivating a lot of attention these days because they can help unlock additional renewables on the system in places where they're already saturated. So storage is something we're looking at. Distributed generation, importantly, is something that we've been focused on. Last fall, we issued a supplement that clarified that we can finance distributed energy projects, and that's both under the advanced fossil solicitation as well as under renewables. We're interested in offshore wind, smart grid technologies, biofuels and biochemicals, waste to energy, efficiency improvements again, powering non-power dams, and anything in the hydro space we're interested in, and we can retrofit existing renewable facilities if there's a new technology involved. And on the waste to energy,
Hello, everyone. It sounds like we're experiencing some technical challenges with Mark's line. We will try to address that. Hold on one moment, please. Sorry for the delay here. Please hold on for just a few more seconds here. We're trying to get this resolved. Okay, Mark, your live should be live now. Go ahead and continue your presentation. Sorry about that.
Okay, no worries. So hopefully we're back on. People can hear me. Apologize for that. I'm not sure what happened. But I was just finishing up on the renewable slide and highlighting the fact that we are able to retrofit existing renewable facilities if there's a new technology involved. And also on the waste to energy, any kind of solid waste, crop waste, forestry waste that can be turned into energy, we're interested in, that includes biodigesters. So moving on to the next slide, I won't spend a lot of time on our nuclear energy solicitation because I don't tend to see a lot of nuclear projects coming out of this group, but it's important for people to realize that we do have the program, so we're interested in advanced nuclear reactors, new state-of-the-art design, small modular reactors. We can provide financing to upgrade existing facilities and also for front-end nuclear, which essentially means uranium conversion or enrichment. So moving on to the ATVM or auto program, if we can advance one more slide, we'll come to eligible projects. Essentially, these are new facilities in the U.S. or re-equipping, modernizing, or expanding existing facilities in the U.S. And importantly, we can finance engineering integration. So in these types of projects, you'll see that the engineering and design component tends to be a fairly high proportion of the cost. And while other lenders tend not to think about that as CapEx, we can actually, it's an eligible cost under our program. So under the next slide, just to give you a sense of what ATVM or what an advanced technology vehicle is defined as, it's simply, it has to be a light duty vehicle. So we're not able to do at this point, we're constrained, we can't do medium and heavy duty. But light duty, which essentially means passenger vehicles, the cars that are 25% more fuel efficient than the baseline of 2005 qualify. And at this point, we're very focused on component manufacturers. You know, some of the smaller companies that are making components, if they go into one of these eligible vehicles, then we can finance that facility's upgrade or new equipment and so on. Next slide gives you a sense of some eligible components, which essentially is anything that goes into the car that can assist in improving the fuel efficiency. So it ranges from advanced engine technologies to electronics, the tires. One thing that's gaining a lot of traction recently, the automakers have been very focused on lightweighting technologies, which includes high-strength steel, aluminum, anything, plastics, carbon fiber, anything that can reduce the weight of the vehicle. And so just to wrap up my remarks, again, the big picture here is that this program has proven its ability to get projects financed and constructed and operating. We've done $30 billion of large, sophisticated projects, and we have over $40 billion remaining. So we're open for business. We are evaluating applications. We're eager to engage with potential borrowers. We have become increasingly customer-focused. We have quicker turnaround times, and we're always striving to improve those. We can do complicated deals. We're not afraid of complexity. Even though we're the government, we can be creative. We have a very talented staff here and experienced staff, both on the legal front in terms of structuring as well as on the technical front for doing due diligence. And I would just close by saying that I think it's become a consensus that energy innovation is really a driver of the American economy going forward. The U.S. needs to lead on innovation, and we've demonstrated that we know how to finance these game-changing projects and get them built and operating and protect the taxpayer at the same time. So thank you. That concludes my remarks, and I'm happy to take questions.
Great. Well, thank you. As a reminder to everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, just press 1 on your telephone keypad, or you can email us that question at info@businesswd.org. And one other thing I'll note before, we've had a lot of folks email or chat window us and ask if the presentation will be available. And yes, that presentation will be posted on our website as well as emailed to you after this call. So I'm going to start with an emailed question that we received here. It's quite specific, actually, Mark. So if we need to email this to your staff for follow-up, that's fine, but we'll start with it. This question is from Laura Dawson, who's in Castlehaine, North Carolina, and her question is, while our company is preparing for application to USDA, NIFA, and SBIR grant for a solar and wind device, we will be in need of pre-award funds, which will be reimbursed within 5 days of each disbursement. We would like to know if the DOE loan programs may be a good resource to direct pay for materials and labor costs, which will then be repaid by a USDA SBIR grant. Logistically, lending will need to be in place within the next 90 days. Do you have any advice?
I can answer the question, which is I think that wouldn't qualify under our programs, and significantly, we can't rely on other federal money to repay our loans. So it's with great regret that I can say that we wouldn't be able to address that opportunity.
Okay, our next question is from Andrew Mongar, and his question was, what about a small company waiting wanting a loan to demonstrate an energy efficiency product on multiple sites for, say, about $1 million.
Well, so that goes to, there's a number of questions embedded in there. So we can do smaller size loans, and I'm glad that we got that question, because when you look at our portfolio, it tends to display as these giant projects, and that tends to give people the wrong impression that we can only do large projects. We can actually do much smaller loans, and we're interested in doing those. Also, on the distributed side, so a transaction that involves multiple locations, that was part of the supplement that we did to clarify that we can do distributed energy projects. So those need to involve the same technology or a similar suite of technologies that we can evaluate that are going to be deployed on multiple sites, and then we can evaluate the credit of the customer base and come up with a way to underwrite a facility for those types of projects. I will have to say, though, that on the Title 17 side, because we charge fees for applications, it tends to be, you know, there's no statutory limit in terms of the size of the loan that we can grant, but we tend to give people a rule of thumb of $15 to $20 million on the low end, only because there are fees involved and there are costs associated with our process. That's just a rule of thumb that people tend to find it that it makes sense to do deals that are of that size or larger. But we wouldn't screen out an application at a smaller size.
Great, thank you. We're going to move to some live questions now. When we call on you, please introduce yourself, let us know the name of your company, and also where you're calling from. Our first question comes from Steve Jones. Steve, your line should be open.
Thank you. I'm Steve Jones. I'm with Green Energy Enterprises and Jap War Company in Cincinnati, Ohio. You answered part of my question initially. We have the license for a pyrolysis gasifier system coming out of a German research institute. We've had two permitted in Germany, and we're talking to four or five companies or locations in the United States. And you answered my first question. We have the license to build them all over the world. We didn't know about where we are considering bringing the first one in from Germany, but we could also build it here. We just certified a manufacturer. And the last part of the question is, so many people we talk to, we're not sure what's considered renewable sometimes. Our system works well with tires, auto shredder residue, MSW. How do you define renewable products? Thank you.
So that's a great question, and I think we'd be interested in talking to you to further, because a lot of this gets into the details. It really does become sort of a fact-specific question of the specific details of your project. In terms of, and I just want to highlight a couple of things. One is, for people that do want to get in touch with us and have those more detailed discussions, the last page of the slide presentation gives you both references to the various websites to get more information, but also phone and email information at the bottom of that page, and so that you can get in touch with us afterwards. And in terms of the technology or bringing technology that's been deployed outside the U.S. into the U.S., so that's actually an important thing, because that's part of the mandate of the program. So even though the technology might have been used elsewhere, if it hasn't been deployed commercially in the U.S., I think more than three times, then that's something that we can finance. And I think to more of your specific question, that's probably something we should have that conversation offline and try to get a little bit more of the details so I can provide you a better answer. But I appreciate your question.
And we can help everybody on the call with any follow-up, any contact follow-up that you need. Our next question comes from Pradeep Kamat. Pradeep, your line should be live.
Yeah, hi. We are working on setting up a company that can provide renewable energy at a much reduced cost.
Pradeep, can you let us know what company and where you're calling from, please?
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. And the company name is Indus International. And what we're trying to do is to determine if it's possible to get some funding to set up the operations of that company.
Well, again, I think we'd be eager to have that conversation, and I would invite you to just reach out to us either using the email address or the phone numbers, and we can get into the specifics.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from, I'm going to try to say this name correctly, Mr. Colas. I think the first name starts with a P, Panangolotis.
Panayotis, correct.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Hello. I would like to ask something. I am calling from Uniscrap Corporation from Delaware. We're working in a project here to develop a facility for treatment organic materials and food waste, biomaterials actually, as a result to produce renewable power in the region. In terms of the incentives from Department of Energy, could you give us more idea about what kinds of incentives you give to this kind of activities? As
sure,
it's related to the solid waste management, actually.
Oh, it's solid waste management?
It is related. Yeah, go ahead.
So I think one thing, just a kind of a prefatory comment, because it relates to several of the questions that have come up. You know, we're essentially, in terms of working with us and applying for a loan from the loan program, what we're looking for is a sponsor that has a project with a business plan that involves the new technology that we can vet. So we need to be able to diligence the technology, diligence the greenhouse gas reductions, which we're quite adept at doing, and also the business plan in terms of underwriting from a credit perspective. And so a lot of times people come to us with technologies that they're working on in the lab or they're looking to do a demonstration, and those tend not to be eligible under our program because we're looking at the point in time where you're actually going to scale up and launch a business. And importantly, we have to have the prospect of repayment, a reasonable prospect of repayment. So we have to believe that the business plan supports repayment of the loan. And so in terms of your specific project, you know, at the beginning of your question, I thought you were talking about grant programs and incentive programs. So the DOE, the Department of Energy, has a number of programs that do make grants for innovative technologies, but our program does not do that. So we don't make grants; we only make loans. And really, you have to think about us like as a bank inside of the Department of Energy.
Thanks. Our next question comes from Stan Schleyapachnik. Stan, your line should be open.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having this call. So we're going through procurement with OPIC, OPIC.gov, and then a couple other international funding groups. So we're looking at a composite panel that ultimately uses plastic and other materials to generate recycled, like modular home, emergency shelter and such, and also shipping containers that are collapsible. So affecting climate change, is that a consideration that Department of Energy would have?
Well, I think it would really come down to the innovative aspect of the project in terms of, it sounds like you've got panels, they might be innovative, and depending on how they're being deployed, if we can demonstrate that it would reduce greenhouse gas emissions versus what the state of the art in the industry, what other people are doing sort of as a standard business practice, then that might be eligible. So I would really need more details, and that's something that we could follow up afterwards. But it gets fairly fact-specific in terms of whether it's something that's eligible or not under our program.
Great, thanks. This is another question about eligibility. This question is emailed to us from Lex Heslin, and he says, we are building a circular ecosystem project in upstate New York, which includes an energy-positive hotel, indoor vertical farm, and waste-to-energy project. The total project cost is $135 million, of which about $40 million is devoted to a green energy microgrid, advanced indoor farming technology, and AD gasification plant generating green energy. To what extent would DOE be willing to lend toward the total project cost versus just the energy portion?
You know, and what, I can that re- is, That is a great question. I mean, obviously, if the project is eligible under eligibility requirements, you know, we would certainly be able to fund, you know, with respect to the energy portion of that. And I can't actually answer the question in terms of the rest of the project costs. I mean, it really comes down to the specifics of that case. So I think that's, again, something that would be interesting for us to discuss further.
Great, thanks. Now, is there anyone at DOE that can help individuals with the application process if they have questions?
Yes, and you know, we're certainly happy to walk people through the application process, point them to that. There's a lot of materials on our website, so I would encourage people to go to the website, read the materials that are there. We have instructions. We actually have an online portal for submitting the applications. But we're also happy to take questions and you know, try to clarify things. And another thing I would say is that people tend to be concerned and worried that if there's, you know, one question on the application form that they can't answer, it doesn't really apply very well to them, they tend to get stuck and not want to submit. Whereas actually it's the beginning of a process with us. When you submit the application, if there's anything missing or anything that we need clarification on, we will come back to you on. And again, on the last slide of our presentation, we've got program-specific contacts. So depending on which area you're interested in, you can sort of hone in and focus on that.
Great, thanks. Our next question comes from Mehmet Genzer. Mehmet, your line should be open.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my question. I am with a corporation called Polyfluor Corp. in Cleveland, Ohio. And my question is, Polyfluor has already a technology, patented technology, taking mixed plastic waste. And when I say mixed plastic waste, this is really the portion actually going to the landfill. Once it's already utilized, now going to the landfill. And we already ran large scale with the help of State of Ohio's Third Frontier grant. And this project spent already several million dollars. And we built improved continuous feeding. And the question is, we are going into the next level now, actually having a plant within the States. It will be the first plant we are shooting for is in Indiana. We are in the fundraising stage also. Is this something, as a waste to energy, something that we should talk to DOE?
It sounds like something that we should talk about. I mean, that sounds to me like a project where you're going to build a facility. You'll have to, you know, presumably you'll have to raise the equity for that. As part of that, you'll be looking for your feedstock supply and offtake arrangements, and that is very much the type of project that we often are able to finance. And, again, it always comes down to the details of is there an innovative technology component to it. And can we demonstrate that it's reducing greenhouse gas emissions? So if we can do those things, then that would be an eligible project.
We've got time for a few more questions. Our next question is from Todd Stewart. Todd, your line should be open.
Hello, Mark. This is Todd with Solar Power Financial out of Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for the seminar today. And I hear you saying over and over again, the technology innovation is a key component here. And I'm wondering if things related to business innovation or systems, business process, or packaging of existing, for example, solar thermal systems into, you know, a system that can actually be scaled, would that potentially qualify? Is that an innovation?
I would have to say on the business process, that sounds a bit far afield, but if you're integrating something into a system in a way that hasn't been done before, then, you know, depending on the details and the circumstances, that could qualify. If you're incorporating a new technology as part of a system in a way that hasn't been done before, that's something that might qualify. And again, we would just have to talk to you further about that.
Okay, our next, one second here. Our next question comes from Varun Singh. Varun, your line should be open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Varun, and I work with Merit Global Enterprise. We're based out of Newark, New Jersey. My question to you is, do you only provide financial help if we have a project, or do you also have certain projects lined up for which you are entertaining companies that have the technology and the expertise to come in and fulfill the requirements?
That's a great question, and the answer is that we don't have projects sort of lined up where we're inviting companies to come in and sort of bid to work on that project or provide technology to that project. We're really, you know, the way the loan programs are established, we're accepting applications from, you know, potential borrowers that have a project in mind that they're looking to finance or have a business plan in mind, you know, to deploy their technology. And so, you know, that's real, we're really looking for applicants who are essentially looking for debt financing. So they, you know, hopefully have the equity financing, or as part of their process, they're out raising equity to do their project, and we're coming in to provide the debt financing for that.
Okay, great. Thank you. We just have time really for one more question. Mark, can you talk a little bit about what is the processing time for applications, and are there any specific obligations that come with accepting loan funds from the Department of Energy?
Sure. And on the timing front, it largely depends on the interaction between us and the borrower. So there is an application process. I'm going to talk about Title 17. There's a Part 1 process, which is really an eligibility screen, where we get enough information to determine whether we think the project would be eligible. That we tend to turn around in about 60 days or less from the time that we receive that application. If we determine the project is eligible, then we notify the borrower and invite them to submit a Part 2 application, which provides more details about the project. And that's something that we spend a decent amount of time with, and essentially determine that we think the project, if we engage in a significant due diligence, is likely to be able to make it through the full process. And so if we do that, we invite the project into full due diligence. And that's where probably both sides start spending money on diligence. So we hire a legal team. We hire our independent engineer to vet the technology. Spend a significant amount of time diligencing at that point in time. And so all in, I think you could expect, you know, probably 7 to 8 to 9 months would be a reasonable expectation in terms of getting a loan. And then what really impacts it is how quickly the interactions take place between DOE and the borrower. So if we, a lot of times we'll have questions that will come up out of the application, and it really depends how quickly the borrower can respond to those questions and get the information back to us.
Great, thanks. That's all the time we have for today. We do have a number of emailed questions that we did not get to, and I see that we still have some more folks in the queue. So if you haven't yet, please just email us your question, and we will get that to DOE and do our best to help you get an answer. You can email those questions to info@businessfwd.org, and again, we'll pass them along. As a reminder, we will send a follow-up email with a short survey, a recording of today's webinar, and links to the slides. So please watch for that. And again, thanks to Mark McCall and his staff and all of you who joined us. Hope you all have a great day.